Setting aside for a moment the motivation behind why that happened, you can't dispute the impact that it has had on Asian Americans.
Asian Americans under attack. It's Friday, March 19th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the United States and China go face-to-face. Pakistan hits a virus third wave. Virus spread concerns in Australia. The business of a green Asia and pineapples, and less green eggs and ham. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The man charged with killing eight people in a series of shootings at massage parlors in the southeastern U.S. state of Georgia is being arraigned in court. While six victims in the Tuesday shooting spree were of Asian descent, authorities say it is too early to classify the killings as a hate crime. Authorities say the white male suspect denies race was a factor in the killings. VOA's Mike O'Sullivan has an update on the shootings and reaction among Asian immigrants.
Five people were shot at the first of three businesses, all Asian massage parlors near Atlanta. One man survived there and was taken to the hospital. 50 kilometers away, as police investigated a second shooting that left three people dead, they received a report of a murder at a spa across the street. Police later arrested 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long after a highway chase.
He made indicators that he has some issues, potentially sexual addiction, and may have frequented some of these places.
With six Asian women dead, the crime shocked Asian Americans around the country and prompted calls of concern.
A crime against any community is a crime against us all.
Two of the spas were owned by Korean Americans, says the chief correspondent for a local Korean language news outlet.
Oh, they are shocked. This morning, young professionals in Korean American community have organized a rapid response team in order to take care of victims and prevent further violence.
The suspect's claim that he was motivated by a sex addiction must be weighed against other evidence, says a former U.S. attorney for the Northern Georgia District.
And setting aside for a moment the motivation behind why that happened, you can't dispute the impact that it has had on Asian Americans.
Vice President Kamala Harris expressed support for the Asian American community, but added the shootings are part of a larger issue,
which is the issue of violence in our country and what we must do to never tolerate it and to always speak out against it.
As one more community copes with another mass shooting, Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Japan lifting Tokyo COVID-19 state of emergency effective Monday. Helicopter crash kills nine Afghan troops in Central Province. Asian Americans grieve, organize in wake of Atlanta attacks. India's rising infections spark concerns of second pandemic wave. U.S. and South Korea talks focus on North Korea security threats. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you find us at Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi are holding talks in Anchorage, Alaska, in what will be the first bilateral meeting between Chinese and American officials since June. Jason Strother tells us more from Seoul.
Speaking in Seoul, where he and U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with their South Korean counterparts, Foreign Affairs Minister Chung Yi-young and Minister of National Defense Seo-uk, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Washington is working closely with its allies in the region on containing the North Korean threat.
We are committed to the denuclearization of North Korea, reducing the broader threat the DPRK poses to the United States and our allies, and improving the lives of all Koreans, including the people of North Korea, who continue to suffer widespread and systematic abuses.
Defense Minister Seol says North Korea poses threats to all three countries. He says, we agree that trilateral security cooperation between South Korea, the United States, and Japan is important for safety and peace in Northeast Asia. The Biden administration says it has tried to restart talks with North Korea and reached out through its mission to the United Nations in New York and other back channels, but received no response. On Thursday, Pyongyang acknowledged those attempts. But Choe Son-hee, the North's vice foreign minister, said in a statement carried by state media that the regime will not engage in dialogue until the U.S. drops what she calls its hostile policy toward her country. Heejin Koo, a research fellow at the Korean Peninsula Future Forum in Seoul, says Pyongyang might be signaling that it wants higher-level contact, like it received during the Trump administration.
What it wants is to have a status quo, also an easing of the current sanctions, which has actually pinched North Korea's economy, especially amid the pandemic.
Despite this impasse, Koo says Blinken and Austin's trip to the region is a turning point for the United States and its allies. She says the secretary's visits could improve ties between Seoul and Tokyo, but also mend fences between Washington and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Koo says during former President Donald Trump's efforts to engage North Korea, Seoul was often not included.
During the Trump administration, South Korea and the Moon Jae-in administration were sometimes left out of it. So it is a reconnection, let's say, between the U.S. administration and the Moon administration.
The South Korean capital was the Biden administration's second stop on its first cabinet-level overseas trip. The U.S. officials held talks in Japan earlier this week. From South Korea, Pentagon Chief Austin will head to India for security talks on Friday. And Secretary Blinken will fly to Alaska, where he will meet with two of China's top foreign policy officials. He says Beijing can play a role in persuading Pyongyang to end its nuclear weapons program. Jason Strother for VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, state TV in Myanmar reports a prominent businessman is saying he has given ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi about $550,000 in illegal payments between 2018 and 2020. The bribery claims are the latest charges against the detained de facto leader. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Pakistan says it is now facing a third wave of the novel coronavirus. Officials have especially expressed concern over the spread of the so-called UK variant of the virus. VOA's Aisha Tanzim has more from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad.
Pakistani health officials say the so-called UK variant of the coronavirus is adding to a third wave of COVID-19 cases, but many here continue to ignore measures to prevent the spread of the virus. Shops, bazaars, and restaurants are often full of people without masks. Health experts say the COVID variant first reported in Britain is more infectious and more deadly. Still, critics say the government has also been lax in enforcing restrictions due to a lack of resources.
While masks are recommended by the government, there are no consequences for not wearing one or for ignoring social distancing guidelines in public. Even indoors, in shops, grocery stores, government buildings, hospitals, people frequently violate the guidelines that could stop the spread of the virus.
Some are calling it pandemic fatigue. Even people previously following strict restrictions have become complacent. Many have resumed life as usual. Meanwhile, Pakistan has reported at least 13,500 COVID-19 deaths and 600,000 confirmed cases so far. In a 24-hour period this week, Pakistan reported more than 2,000 new cases. With a third wave of the coronavirus underway, Pakistan's vaccination drive is still moving ahead slowly. Some of it is due to the public fear of vaccine side effects or conspiracy theories about the vaccine itself. The government also faces criticism for lack of planning and not doing more to make the vaccine widely available.
The government's target seems to be to vaccinate 12 to 13 million people in 2021. For now, only frontline health workers or people over 60 are getting this. But if you only plan to give it to 12 million people, that is not an adequate percentage of your 220 million population.
Meanwhile, the surge of COVID cases has forced the government to reverse its decision to ease coronavirus restrictions.
We were about to lift some restrictions from the 15th of March, but given the new COVID-19 numbers, we have changed our mind. We will continue restricting things like indoor dining or indoor marriages. In addition, schools and cities with higher COVID-19 numbers are told to take their spring breaks now.
Health experts say until the government manages to increase the number of vaccinated people, the problem will keep recurring. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Islamabad.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga announced Tokyo's month-long COVID-19 state of emergency will be lifted Monday, citing reduced overall infection numbers since January and hospital occupancy. Suga said the number of infections in Tokyo and three surrounding prefectures has dropped by more than 80% since early January. The state of emergency affected bars and restaurants, forcing them to close by 8 p.m. local time. Other businesses were asked to take preventative measures, including having employees work remotely. Similar emergency measures were lifted in six of Japan's urban areas late last month. Some officials have expressed concern that lifting the state of emergency will encourage the public to be less vigilant, resulting in a new spike in cases. Suga acknowledged daily numbers had plateaued or crept up in some areas in recent days. He encouraged people to remain vigilant about new variant strains of the coronavirus responsible for the COVID-19 disease.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. North Korea's state media reports a top North Korean diplomat confirmed the United States had recently tried to initiate contact, but blasted the attempts as a, quote, cheap trick that would never be answered until Washington drops hostile policies. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Australia is beginning an urgent rollout of COVID-19 vaccinations in the Torres Strait in northern Queensland because of a sharp increase in infections in neighboring Papua New Guinea. Some of Australia's most northerly islands are just a few kilometers from Papua New Guinea, and that raises concern the virus could spread easily and quickly across the border. As Phil Mercer reports from Sydney, Australia is on high alert, and Health Minister Greg Hunt says there's a clear and present danger to both nations.
Papua New Guinea is facing a public health crisis. The South Pacific nation of more than 7 million people is Australia's nearest neighbour. In Canberra, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton is increasingly worried.
We don't want the virus sneaking across what is obviously a very small area, and we don't want people in North Queensland, particularly Indigenous communities, facing the incursion of that disease.
Officially, Papua New Guinea has recorded more than 2,300 coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. More than 25 people have died, according to research from Johns Hopkins University. Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Paul Kelly, believes the real situation is far worse.
We're seeing a large number of healthcare workers on the front lines in Papua New Guinea now coming down with COVID-19. These are all signs that there is a major epidemic in the community. They do not have the resources for mass testing as we do here in Australia, and so any number you see coming out of Papua New Guinea in terms of cases and even deaths will be a major underestimate.
Australia is sending 8,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses to its northern neighbour and vital supplies for health workers. It's asking the European Union to provide another 1 million doses to help Papua New Guinea. Australian doctors are also starting an urgent vaccination program to protect islanders on the Australian side of the Torres Strait that separates the two nations. The opposition Labour Party in Canberra believes Australia has been too slow to react. In Papua New Guinea, Prime Minister James Merape has said COVID-19 has broken loose and he warned that hospitals would soon be overwhelmed. His country occupies the eastern half of the island of New Guinea between the Coral Sea and the South Pacific Ocean and lies to the east of Indonesia and to the north of Australia. Agriculture provides a subsistence livelihood for an estimated 85% of the population. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, China's ambassador to the United States said China will not hold overly high expectations for the upcoming talks between top foreign policy officials, but is hoping it will pave the way for better communication with a candid, constructive, and rational conversation. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, it's time for Business Scene. Here's Josh Nist.
It may be one of the world's smallest countries, but the prosperous financial hub of Singapore is among the biggest per capita carbon dioxide emitters in Asia. While authorities have been pushing to steer the country to find more sources of renewable energy, they face challenges as the country has no rivers for hydroelectricity or strong enough wind for power turbines. However, the city-state has taken the initiative to build solar farms throughout the country. One newly built solar farm spreads out from the coast into the Johor Strait, which separates Singapore from Malaysia. 13,000 panels are anchored to the seabed and can produce 5 megawatts of electricity, which is enough to power 1,400 apartments for an entire year. Sean Tan, the vice president for engineering at SunSeep, spoke on the plans for future solar farm locations.
Yes, we are constantly looking at more available area in Singapore. Unfortunately, the sea area are mostly congested. So we are looking at all those dead sea spaces that is not utilized or have no future utilization plan.
Another project under development at Tanga Reservoir is much more ambitious and is set to be completed later this year. The 122,000-panel solar farm will be one of the biggest in Southeast Asia, covering an area that is the size of 45 football pitches. Pineapples have become a politically charged figure after China banned the import of Taiwan's pineapples on March 1st. In support of the Taiwanese pineapple farmers, Taiwanese president kicked off a social media challenge called Eat Taiwan's Pineapples Until You Burst. The campaign sparked a pineapple media frenzy as politicians rushed to show their support for farmers by visiting pineapple plantations and posting pictures online. The support did not stop there. Local restaurants also rushed to show their support by adding pineapple-infused dishes to their menu. Hung Ching Lung, a Taipei chef, has given the classic Taiwanese beef noodle soup a new sweet and sour twist, all in support of the pineapple farmers.
We spent 3 days testing this and made more than 10 attempts. We finally made a perfect combination of our pineapple beef noodle soup.
The government also promised subsidies worth 1 billion New Taiwan dollars, which is $35 million to help out the farmers. For Business Scene, I'm Josh Nist.
At some point, you've likely come across a Dr. Seuss book, as more than 650 million copies have been sold around the world since author Theodore Seuss Geisel published his first title in the 1930s. The prolific author of books, like The Cat in the Hat, is credited with helping millions of children learn to read. But this month, Dr. Seuss Enterprises announced it will no longer publish six of the celebrated author's books due to racist and insensitive imagery. VOA's Dora McQuarrie has our report.
The offending images in the six canceled Dr. Seuss books contain stereotypes of black people, Asians, and Arabs. Dr. Seuss author Theodore Seuss Geisel died in 1991. But this year on his birthday, the company founded by Dr. Seuss's family decided to stop printing six of his books because they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong.
He often sees national or ethnic or racial difference as exotic, and as fun or as funny. In highlighting the exotic of somebody or the otherness of somebody as a point of amusement, you know, you are telling people that national or ethnic or racial difference can be the punchline. And that is painful if you are a member of the group who is the punchline.
Allegations of racial stereotypes in the author's work aren't new. The Dr. Seuss Museum in the author's hometown of Springfield, Massachusetts, removed a mural after complaints. The mural depicted a Chinese character with slanted eyes, chopsticks, and a pointed hat.
The librarians have known about this for a long time and have been discussing this for decades.
Jason Homer heads up a library system not far from the Dr. Seuss Museum. He says the author's books are not particularly popular at his libraries, but they will stay on the shelves.
In the top 100 children's checked out titles last year, only one Dr. Seuss book appeared, and that was Cat in the Hat. We're moving these books because people might object, are very much go against what we stand for as a public library. We want to provide materials. Our job is to enlighten, enrich, and inform our community.
Offensive at best and horribly racist at worst.
Geisel's racist imagery exists outside of his popular children's books. He published political cartoons during World War II containing harmful stereotypes of Japanese Americans that questioned their patriotism.
Supposedly Japanese figures with cookie-cutter faces, all of them similar, all of them male, marching down from Washington and Oregon into California to pick up blocks of TNT explosive. And the title of the cartoon is Waiting for the Signal from Home. The guy on the roof has a telescope pointed toward Japan.
There's evidence the author regretted his early depictions of non-white people. Some of his later books include lessons on tolerance and inclusion.
People often think of racism as either or. You're on team racism or you're not, and that's not actually how it works. You know, Seuss is on both teams.
Philip Nell heads up the children's literature program at Kansas State University. He views the removal of the six Seuss books as an appropriate product recall.
Also, as a child, I think you're absorbing things that you don't know you're absorbing. You are learning things without your consent. These ideas, these images just start to populate your brain without you signing on to the idea that it's okay to mock people for being different or kind of highlight their exoticism to be amusing.
It's the end of the story for these six titles, but dozens of beloved Dr. Seuss books remain in print for future generations of children to discover. Dora McQuarrie, VOA News, Washington.
Now that you've heard the story, see it at voanews.com. But be aware the video will include images that many find offensive, which is why some of the books are being discontinued. That's all the time we have for our program today. We'll continue again at this same time on Monday. Join us again for another edition of VOA Asia. In the meantime, join us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Any time of the day or night you'd like to visit, just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.